Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dave, how many days until training camp?
Less than a month, like 20 or so.
That's good. So you can
maybe,
go there.
No, not even. No. Maybe like 14.
Yeah, you could be at the Pelican House right now watching the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. You could watch Summer League Hoops. The Pelicans look like they drafted a good player until he gets hurt, Buddy Hield. So the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They're awesome. They have a late-night menu. They're open till 2. They have 136 draft beers. You should support them because they support us. The Pelican House, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 2572 City Place Court. Go there. All right.
Do it. Wait, hold on. I want to know if Kevin's going to buy a jersey of Buddy Held since it's one letter off from his last name.
Oh, that's a good
one. Yeah, I'm waiting for Ralph to start mispronouncing his last name like me.
Buddy Held.
Buddy Held.
So is it... you know what? I probably just start calling him Kevin Held. That'd be the full Ralph.
Kevin Heald.
The full Ralph would be Buddy Held and Kevin Haley.
Kevin just turned into a speak and spell. Like it matters. We're probably not even recording this anyway. So let's give a round of applause. The Saints have gone almost all summer and no one's been arrested or beat a woman with a belt on the beach. So that's a positive. Right?
Or tossed an alleged... lady of the night outside their condo.
Allegedly.
That is true. So celebrate that.
I think Kevin's in the Matrix.
I think he is.
And there's a glitch in the Matrix.
Kevin, if you are playing Pokemon Go during this podcast, I will beat your ass. So
I would prefer it if you were unable to speak, Mr. Held.
So we have a bunch of fun Twitter questions, but before we get to that, something that I was thinking about today while I was driving home, desperately worried about if the audio was going to record, of course, is somebody's like, they have like gnats in the background or something. I don't even know.
That's gotta be Dave.
I mean, I'm on my porch. Yeah. I guess it's cicadas.
Cicadas.
You can really hear the cicadas down the,
yes,
down my street.
Yes,
absolutely.
Nice. So Andrew, I was thinking about this, you know, every year, we used to call it the annual Jason David Award, the player that fans are just going to gravitate towards and hate. But I think Brandon Browner, his performance in 2015 was so perfect that the award is named for him from now on.
Oh, now it's renamed.
It's
renamed. I don't
think
you know
he
what
is,
perfect
one
means.
Up in Trump.
If you're trying to win the Jason David Award for the player that the fans will most hate and blame for everything that's wrong with the Saints, Brandon Browner was pretty much perfect. Like, he pitched a perfect game in 2015, I would argue.
It was so perfect that he usurped Jason David.
He usurped it, and now
owns the award to himself.
So the Brandon Browner Award, who would you put money on as the leader going into the year?
Well, I feel like it always goes to a corner. Like, yeah. it's always been Toy Cook and Corey
Fred
White,
Thomas.
And Patrick Robinson, and
Fred
Thomas.
Thomas.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's got to be a corner again. I think we can count, you know, Delvin Bro, Keenan Lewis, at least one of those two is going to get injured.
Yeah.
And then Swan, PJ Williams, at least one of those two is going to get injured. So you know that someone's going to get thrown into the fire and have to cover. He'll unfairly be blamed for everything that's wrong.
Could it be
right?
Could, Could it be a linebacker though? I feel like Laurinaitis is a potential dark horse.
You know who's a dark. You know, actually, now that I think about it, it's Jarris Bird.
No,
he's kind of already there. He kind of gets a pass because he's not a corner, so he doesn't get burned as much. But I just feel like this is year three, and if he's actually playing, like if he gives the Saints anything other than a stellar season, I feel like the venom and the blame is really going to start going hard.
You can count me in that number.
That is a good choice.
That's good.
Part of it, and I mean most of it really isn't even his fault because we would only feel that way because of how much he got paid. If he hadn't gotten paid so much, we'd be like, all right, he's just a shitty safety.
Yeah,
but the fact that his contract is so ridiculous. It's
worst
like
contract.
That's part of the reason why Jason David got blasted is Jason David got paid a shit ton of money.
He did not get paid nearly. Jarris Bird is on another fucking level.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm aware.
They fucking paid Jarris Bird
still,
like he was a fucking golden god in the Ewok village.
They gave up a draft pick for Jason David.
Yeah, but hang on a second. The Saints paid Jason David like he was the big. That was the big free agent acquisition that was going to put the Saints over the top. It's like, oh man, we should be back in the playoff. We're going to be back in the hunt. We can make the conference championship again. We might be able to make the goddamn Super Bowl because we added. This was the piece. Yeah. This was the piece.
Not to make Kevin's head explode because I can tell he's already fired up. but didn't the Saints give up a pick to
they
get
did.
Jason David as
they,
well?
Because he was a restricted free agent, they gave up a third or a fourth round pick. So
they couldn't have paid him some crazy amount of money. They probably just matched whatever tender was put on him.
No,
or
they
paid
did
a
match.
Bit.
No, that's the point. That the Saints paid him so much money that the Colts are like, we're not matching that.
No,
the
Colts
we'll
are like, nah,
pick.
Cool. I think the Saints paid him in his first year like $9 million. It was front loaded.
Jarris Bird still is more than that.
No. Jason David got like a 4-year $12 million deal.
Yeah, but I thought he got a big chunk of it like up front too. Like that it was like kind of like not quite a poison pill, but
I mean, you're both right. I think he was paid handsomely. I mean, he was paid like a starting high-quality corner, but I mean, Dave's right. It was nowhere near the stratosphere financially.
And
I mean,
Jarris
Bird
I'm
got the richest
that.
Safety deal of all time.
Right. Yeah, I'm simply saying that all the talk about, oh, well, if this guy gets injured and this guy gets injured. No, the Jason David Award, it has to go to a guy that's a starter that's
fair.
Shits the bed, that has no business starting.
That's fair.
Yeah. But, I don't think...
It's a starter that either has no business starting or a starter that after you've seen them play enough, you're like, they can't start anymore. They're a goddamn detriment.
I feel like the Brandon Brown Award is just like it doesn't matter should they start. To me, it's all about fan rage. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a defensive player. It could be like Zach Strief. You know, like
right.
It could be just a player that fans just turn.
Zach
like
Strief is actually a good call. I mean, that I would still pick Jarris Bird ahead of him, but Strief is in the mix.
Yeah,
I feel like Strief is kind of like an underrated, hated, in terms of a Saints player that's hated. You know, we kind of don't mention him enough. I mean, I've always personally really liked him, and I think he's a good player. But I think if you poll fan base, I think there's a lot of people that think really sucks.
And a super
unfairly.
A super dark horse for the Brandon Browner Award. And if he wins it, the Saints are in really, really bad shape. Fleener. Because he doesn't drop as many passes as people like to think, but when he has drops, they're in like the worst times. And if he's getting a lot of fan anger, that's a very bad sign. He'd be like my 50-1 shot if you wanted to bet long shot. Fleener would be the guy. So before we get to some non-football topics and your questions, people have been asking me about the fantasy leagues. They're like, I want to play the fantasy leagues. We need to play. I hear it's so fun. We're doing two leagues again this year. Me and Kevin are in the auction league. Me and Andrew are in the regular snake draft league. We do it the Saturday and Sunday is the draft before the first game.
Everyone wants to know entry fee, so
the entry fee is $32. The winner will get
what? That's such a random number.
Because PayPal, they charge you like $1.80 fee. Mm. So
mm-hmm. Ralph's
are you saying you really need $31?
Ralph's embarrassed. The fee was decided on 32 because that's how much he's going to overpay for Isaiah Cromwell.
That's right.
Cromwell.
I feel, you know, with his Facebook.
Oliver Cromwell, Isaiah Cromwell,
I would have rather picked Oliver Cromwell. He could hit the hole. So $32. The draft is the final preseason.
If you're just exchanging money between friends, you shouldn't even have to pay a fee on PayPal.
Oh, that's true, but a lot of people did last year. They had the fee, so it's $32. So we do the draft, and Kevin will tell you the auction draft is a blast. Even the snake draft is fun because people forget that it's their turn to pick. They make horrible picks. Saints go for obscene amounts of money. Anyway, you play. It's fun. It's to help pay the podcast bills, but the winner also gets $150. It's fun all year, and the league, we do trades, we talk smack. It's a fantasy league that's really fun. So if you want to play,
the draft day itself
is the best.
Is guaranteed shit talking fun.
Yes, I mean,
like, Ralph got piled on.
It's the
best
part, honestly.
It is.
Ralph got piled on more than an avalanche victim.
And that was in spite of the fact that you were hoarding all your money.
Right. Like, I hoarded way too much money. And wow, I literally had to make my last five or six picks with $30. It was terrible.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Kevin, for God's sakes, take the red pill.
So if you want to join the Fantasy League, DM me on Twitter.
Slide into Ralph's DMs, folks.
Slide into my DMs, and you can play. It's a boatload of fun. So that's the Fantasy League. That's pretty much it for like actual Saints news. And starting next week, we'll start doing actual previews of positions and training camp and all this. But it's the middle of July. If Saints players aren't getting arrested, we don't have enough Saints news to talk about. But of course, Drew Brees will probably sign a 5-year, $150 million contract.
We do have Daryl Tapp on the roster.
Daryl Tapp. I didn't even know who he was.
Tap that.
He signed. Can you give us a scouting report on Daryl Tapp, Andrew?
Yeah, he was drafted, I think, in the second round in 2006.
Yeah.
Is that right? Second round?
Yeah.
Yes. That might be wrong.
That sounds
I don't know.
Right.
2006. No, so he was picked at the same time as Roman Harper and Reggie Bush and all those guys. Yeah, he's old. He's been around for a long time. And he's
the Saints were going to sign some young buck?
Well, no, but I mean, they got Guachum last year. He's young. They signed him off the street.
So, yeah, I mean, he's been a sub. You know, he's a guy that kind of comes in. I think they kind of liked him because they played the Lions last year, I believe. And
does he do anything well?
No, not really.
Well, I mean, you know, like...
He's just a sub player. I mean, I don't think he's any better or worse than, like, a Bobby Richardson. So I think he's in the mix. There's a chance he makes the roster. I think he's one of those guys you kind of root gets cut. Because if he makes the team, then it's a clear sign at how poor the depth is. But if a young player beats him out, then you're like, okay, well, at least they're beating a 10-year vet that has been in the league and has done
it. Coasting in on fumes.
True that.
True that. So,
And then there's Scott Shanley.
Scott.
God, how many guys did they bring in and take his job over the years?
Scott Shanley.
How many guys did they bring in to take his job, and he just never ever lost it?
Well, that's a guy. That's my case for the Saints, the Brandon Brown Award being a linebacker. I mean, people hated Shanley.
Yeah, he was hated. That's a good point.
So, all right, we have a couple of non-football topics. First topic is me and Kevin like politics. If you don't like politics, fast forward this, but we'll do it football related. Donald Trump is going to announce his vice president on Friday. So me and Kevin were thinking, who could it possibly be? Who would be the craziest Donald Trump choice? I say
Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones is a good one. Mike Ditka, even though Mike Ditka turned him down to speak at the convention, Mike Ditka would be
cool. Ooh, Bobby Knight.
Ooh, that'd be a good. That would be a crazy. Who else?
It would have to be Ron Rivera because he's Hispanic.
Oh yeah, that would be a good choice.
I mean, Jeb Bush would be pretty hilarious.
If he was willing to purchase like $3 million of AdvoCare products, you think Breeze would do it?
No. Yeah. I think there is 0% chance that Breeze would do it or would vote for him.
Let's see. Goodell, he could be like the Law and Order candidate.
Oh God.
He said that he's the Law and Order candidate.
But Goodell, man, Goodell's the sheriff, man.
Darren Sharper.
I know.
Ooh, that'd be a bad choice. He's already down like 35 points with one.
I think as a felon, he's ineligible to become president or vice president.
My guess on who he is going to nominate, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, Kevin.
Yeah.
Talk politics for 15 seconds. I think he's going to pick his daughter.
That would be amazing.
I think he's gonna.
And Ralph is dead serious.
I'm dead serious because
stop.
All his kids run his business. Those are the only people he trusts, and his daughter can get on the stump and say nice things about him and actually make people think he's a human being. That's my
not happening.
He's picking his daughter. That's
all right. If we're going back to NFL players, I mean, I feel like he needs the Hispanic vote, so I'm going Martin Gramatica.
Martin
Gramatica. He'll have the large head, small body voter locked in. So the other thing that's going on is Pokemon Go, which
oh yeah,
is just taking over the world.
I just kind of learned about this today on Twitter.
I did. Well, I learned about it yesterday. Here's the thing, though.
Today, jeez, you guys are late to the party, man.
Apparently.
It's scavenger hunt on your iPhone. Somebody asked me, what was your greatest Pokemon find? I said, not playing Pokemon and wandering, using my crippled ass to wander around Paraland, playing scavenger hunt on my iPhone. That was my greatest Pokemon game.
So is this a thing that like adults do mostly, or is this mostly a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Is this mostly
it's
a kid?
Kids and adults.
I think it's primarily
kids or primarily adults.
I would say it's primarily. No, I would say it's primarily.
I shit you not,
like,
man.
Dude,
like
that picture from Central Park in New York was not kids.
Okay, well, adults meaning like over 21.
I would say they were 18. All of them at least.
Oh.
Here's my question, though. Yeah. I don't have – I never –
Anyway, I've played it before, so I can explain it to you if you really want.
Is it free? How does it make money? Do you have to – you buy, like, tokens and stuff to play and, like
It is free. I don't see any advertising on it. I think you can pay for, like, extra Pokeballs.
You've actually played this, Dave?
Yeah.
And you're not the least bit embarrassed?
No,
I
have to be
figured
because
you would, because you have kids that would love that stuff.
I initially wanted to look at it because I wanted to see if they made my store like a gym or a Pokestop or whatever, because I wanted to see if I could use it for business.
Is it a cool thing to do with your 6-year-old?
Yeah, it would be fine. Yeah, yes.
Fine or
fine.
Fun?
Fine.
Both. It would be both. Yeah, because you can go around and it's like it has a real map. It's hooked up to some map program.
But Dave, like,
and what do? You look at the screen
and on the screen there are landmarks and they're exactly located where the real landmarks are in other words, there's a landmark at the Hillel at Tulane. There's a gym, which is where you can fight other people.
But
players.
How do they do it for randomness? How do they decide? Are those like pre-programmed in? Or
yeah, the company that made it, so I think it's like tied in with Google or whatever, and that's how they populated it.
But
so all of that was predetermined.
Here's my thing. it's more pop, like it has more active users almost now than Twitter in like 2 days, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But here's my thing is like, when are we going to have the first?
Well, I mean, it's just gone. It's gone viral. Everybody's
talking about
it. When
are we going to have the first
Pokemon Go
tragedy?
So that leads to people like me who want to download it and see what everybody's talking about.
When are we going
to
have the first Pokemon Go tragedy where like somebody wanders into a restaurant and gets their ass beat or gets run over by a car or like?
No, I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, I think you're going to either have somebody who's not paying attention when they cross the street and get run over by a car, or they're going to be doing it while they're driving. Because okay, so here's the thing. So
I thought they had a safe. Somebody at work said they had a safety feature. If you go over 30 miles an hour, it shuts off.
Is
that true? I don't know.
I didn't know that. I've never experienced that. Because if you're in the car, like you the person riding shotgun, you know, can just keep looking at their phone and they can keep passing these stops and collecting Pokeballs and and you've got a better chance
like
of running
saying,
into.
Sounds like you're saying Pokeballs.
Running into a Pokemon and catching them and all that stuff. So, anyway, so I don't actually really play it. I've looked at it and I've learned about it. So I'm down with it.
So all right, now
I was never into Pokemon. I could care less about Pokemon. That was we're obviously all of us are older than the Pokemon generation.
All right, Kevin, for the first Twitter question, this is a fantastic Twitter question, and you liked it today. I saved it and got it just for you. Dennis Allen, should he sleep on the floor, in the facility, or rent an apartment?
Well, if he sleeps in the facility, he'll know where the medicine cabinet is, so
I gotta get a Viking joke in.
So I say facility.
Right. He's already been living. He's already been living.
That bad. Inflatable mattresses aren't that bad.
I'd say the opposite. I think if you're a Saints defensive coordinator under Sean Payton, you sleep with one eye open.
Yeah, I mean, defensive coordinator for the Saints, no one of them has lasted longer than 3 years. You know? Let's see. This is from Wendell. I feel like the Saints defense is going to be better. Am I being wildly optimistic, Andrew? Is Andrew gone? Are you there, Andrew?
Nope, I just muted myself.
Way to go, buddy.
I pulled a Kevin. I would say, I mean, how could they possibly be worse? How could they possibly be worse?
I think we said that last offseason.
Well, I did. Now, with the exception of Spags, and I'm willing to say that Spags was an aberration because of Bounty Gate and the disorganization and
Dead Cat
and
Bounce.
Sean Payton wasn't even there. But yeah, exactly. The Dead Cat Bounce were basically the first year of Rob Ryan and the first year of Greg Williams was by far their best year. And then year two and three were not nearly as good for either of them. So, you know, I think there's something about installing a new defense, a new coordinator, a new voice, where I feel like we've seen it kind of gain traction in year one under Payton. At least we've seen it twice with Williams and with Rob Ryan. And really with Gary Gibbs, too. I mean, in 2006, you know, that was kind of – I think Gary Gibbs was there for 3 years, and that was by far his best year, was his first year under Payton. So
hell, I would take
– I'm going to say Dennis Allen has big bounce-back year.
I would take – if you told me the Saints defense would be as good as any of Gary Gibbs' defenses with the Saints, I would take that, Andrew. That's where we've sunk.
Yeah.
I would sign – if you told me they'll be as good as 2006, 7, or 8, I'd be like, sign me up. I'll take it.
We thought Gary Gibbs' defenses were bad until we were subjected to the worst defenses of all time.
Yeah. Gary Gibbs' defenses was like dying.
They were just merely bad.
Well, they were like getting stabbed to death with a pen. It's like, it wasn't like one horrible thing. It was just semi-bad play at 8 yards at a time. And, you know, just stick the knife in. Dave, this is from Will. What numbers does Fleener have to put up to be worth the contract? Do you think he's a finesse player?
A finesse player? I don't know anything about that. I haven't watched enough film on him to know whether he's a finesse player. Finesse is kind of a weird word to use when you're talking about football. What kind of he's got to put up, in my mind, he's got to put up 1,000 yards and 8-9 touchdowns, I'd say.
That's fair. Here's a question, and Kevin, I'll give this to you, but I'll answer this as well. But this is right up you and me out, your alley. The Jets are still shopping Muhammad Wilkerson. The Jets are still shopping Muhammad Wilkerson. If they lowered the price, this is from the Todd Newberg. If the Jets lower the price on Wilkerson for a second rounder, worth the deal for the Saints?
No, no. Quit giving up picks.
They can't
quit
afford
giving
him.
Up picks.
Yeah, they'd have to give him a monster deal.
Well, it'd be like the Josh Norman thing. You know, Breeze would have to tweak his deal to make it work. But, yeah, no. I know Kevin's not going to like this, but I'm tempted to say yes.
Here's the thing, though. The Saints, they made so many trades this year. If the guy from Canada and Bell play really well, Kevin, next year, Mickey Loomis is just going to trade all the picks for some guy from Yugoslavia, and we're just going to have to deal with it. You know? And we're just going to have to be like, well, Mickey knows what he's doing. So that's the catch 22. The better Von Bell does, the more that reinforces the Saints that they're like, when we trade up, it works out. We just got to find the right guys. So like that's the only downside of like Von Bell being phenomenal is like it feeds their trade up addiction, I think. And I'm not sure how I feel. I'm not sure how I feel about it. Should I just accept it and hope Von Bell does well? But it's what they do. They trade up.
They're going to do it either way, so it might as well work.
This is from Jutes Magoots. It's Benson's birthday. What would each member of the podcast get Tom?
I'd get him a nice Chianti and a tub of fish food. the ice cream. No.
Yeah, Jude stole my answer. I was gonna go to the Rite Aid around the corner and get a bottle of Yellowtail and
No. You go to the
and some Bluebell.
You go to the Creole. You give them like $100 gift card, $150 gift card to the Creole Creamery. You gotta go like top notch. He's like 89, man.
Tom, he's 89. Yes, he's the third oldest owner in the NFL. He's not going to Creole Creamery. I go to Creole Creamery all the time. Tom Benson is not walking into Creole Creamery.
Yeah, what is his ice cream of choice?
I don't know.
I guarantee you it's vanilla.
No, I guarantee you it's mint
it's
chocolate.
Bland,
it's got to at least be Haagen-Dazs French bean vanilla.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. No. It's an exquisite vanilla, whatever it is, but it's vanilla.
Oh, I think it's Rocky Road.
No, I think it's mint chocolate chip.
Or it's like red velvet, and he drinks the red wine, the red velvet. I don't know what kind of wine goes with – I don't know my wine pairings with ice cream. Come on. What do you pair with ice cream?
He probably likes pralines and cream.
Oh, I did. That's good though.
If Russell were an ice cream flavor, he'd be pralines and dick.
I don't know if they have it. I don't know if they have it anymore. Stephen Colbert's Americone Dream was nice. It's one of my go-to ones. So I think that's all.
Okay, vanilla. Okay, vanilla ice cream. Let's see. You would go with a late harvest Zinfandel, or or a tawny port.
Oh, and he's definitely going wine, port. He's definitely port, going port.
Yeah, so a port or a Zinfandel there if you're having vanilla ice cream.
He's going for a maximum hangover. He's taking.
And if
the
you're
port.
Going and oh, and mint chocolate chip. So Dave said mint chocolate chip. You want a Shiraz.
Yeah.
Andrew, what flavor did you say?
I said for ice cream.
Yeah,
I think I said fish food.
No, you didn't.
He did. He said fish food.
Oh, pralines and cream. Yeah, I said pralines and cream later.
But that's good. Yellowtail has a good Shiraz, so that's good. That works well.
So there you go.
It's the yellow label.
Do you think Benson has like a really nice crystal bowl that he eats the ice cream in, or does he just go straight from the tub?
Oh, straight from the tub for sure.
Big spoon.
For sure.
Big spoon.
Does he like walk around the house in a onesie and just have like the tub under one arm?
I bet he also has like the little Halloween nerd packs, like the tiny nerd packs.
And like sprinkles
them. And he probably sprinkles them on top of the tub.
If I was 89 and worth $2 billion, I would do that too.
I would say, I'll bet you he goes through Fun Dips all the time, but something tells me he can't chew through the candy stick.
His onesie is a Saints onesie. It's gotta be. Like all white with like Saints helmets. That's what I think. All right, so I guess that does it for the questions. Thanks for everybody for bailing us out. We got a lot of good ones tonight, actually. So again, if you want to join the fantasy league, DM me. We'll get you in. Go to Twitter. Kevin's there. You can find
him. Whatever you do, make sure you DM Ralph and don't DP him, okay?
slide on into my DMs. Here's a random question. Kevin, why are the Twitter stripper bots liking, like, 2-year-old tweets that you mentioned me in, and I'm just blocking these, like, Twitter people that have, like, one follower? It's like an epidemic the last 2 days. I don't know what that's about.
I got no idea.
But Kevin's...
I have no idea.
Can we get a quick update on Kevin's love life?
Yeah.
Yep, still seeing the same lady.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. So go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got fantastic comment. He's got a podcast where I was a guest and didn't ruin their audio, which was amazing.
This audio, on the other hand.
And me and Andrew are going to seed the Saints' worst quarterback tournament, and that's going to get us through to training camp.
Nice.
The next thing.
Should we start emailing about that tomorrow?
We should, instead of doing actual work. And you can go find...
You guys are adorable.
We are. And... So you can find Dave. He's running the CSC Twitter account sometimes, or you can go to Canal Street Chronicles. I'm sure Dave has many lovely things there that you can read about Saints things. So
yeah, if you go on the SaintsNation.com right now, I posted a post about Dave Witzel and his 10 interception season in 1967. It's kind of like a recap, and I found a video clip that was like a highlight of the Saints' first win ever against the Eagles. And you might remember this guy's name, but you know, it has the guy that scored 3 touchdowns. I'm blanking on his name. Roberts or
Eli Roberts, I think. I saw somebody.
No, it wasn't Eli Roberts. But anyway, so this guy scores 3 touchdowns. He runs back the opening kickoff, so he scores on a kickoff. Then one of his teammates fumbles. He picks it up and runs it like 40 yards for a score. So he scores on a fumble. And then late in the game, he scores on a deep pass. So he scored 3 touchdowns in a variety of ways and helps the Saints win their first game ever.
If Brandon Cooks did that, it would break the Twitters.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be awesome. So go to Saints Nation, go to Canal Street Chronicles, find Kevin on Twitter, and DM me if you want to play in our fantasy league. So until next week. Not DP. Till next week, the bar.
please don't double penetrate, Ralph.
Until next week, the bar is closed. Jesus fucking Christ, I hope this records.
Yeah, probably not.